Well, I want to talk on deeper life again, and I want to talk on the cross. And the title that I believe the Lord has given to us, that I believe He's going to unfold to us today, is Belief in the Resurrection Power of Our Cross. Belief in the Resurrection Power of Our Cross, or our cross that we take up daily. Now, there is so much emphasis today on the cross that Jesus took up, and rightly so, and the power of the cross that raised Him from the dead, that resurrection power, and rightly so, because He's the forerunner, He is the one that has gone before to prepare the way. He is the redeemed, the raised up one. He is the new creation, the new humanity. He's now the one that has been given all authority and power and dominion and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And every knee shall bow and confess that He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Amen.
All of that, theologically, absolutely right. But it doesn't stop there, brothers and sisters. Because as we're going to look, and as we know so well, Jesus also said, if you want to be my disciple, you too daily take up your cross.
Right.
Now, it is one thing to acknowledge that, to read it, and to say, yes, amen, wow, gosh, this is challenging, and it is. And none of us are to take discipleship and its demands, its commitments, lightly. We have to settle it. But I wonder, and I raise this question, do we really believe, are we in faith to the cross that I too am to take up daily and follow? Do I believe in the resurrection power of that cross that I am to take up daily and follow? The same principle that worked with Christ through the cross, being raised up through death from the cross. Do I believe that that is happening also in my life daily as I take up my cross? Now that is what I think is going to sort it out. That, I believe, goes to the root of those who simply talk about it and listen to the teaching on that, and those who actually are taking up their cross daily and following the Lord. Because unless we are in faith for that, unless we start to experience through that death to the self life, the resurrection of that, it's ultimately going to be meaningless. It is not something that at the end of the day you and I are really actually going to experience. And I think if we don't really experience that, then we're not really experiencing the deeper life. You see, you can't separate any of this. That is the whole point. Now, I want to today look at the three major things that are spoken of with regard to taking up our cross. It is mentioned in the three Gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke. And I wanted to just look at the three of those because there is just a slight variation in the way that they have been interpreted. And I want today to look at five areas with regard to our taking up our cross. And the first one, of course, we're going to look at is in Matthew 16. Matthew's interpretation, led by the Spirit, inspired to write about what Jesus said to his disciples, all his followers, you too take up your cross and follow me. In Matthew 16, verse 24, here in Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus says here, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, for newcomers that are joining us, I'm just going to briefly go over this. I know most of us in the body know this, but it speaks here of the denial of self, not self-denial. Many practice self-denial. Many religious people practice self-denial. If I deny myself of this, or I deny myself of a week of not having sweets and chocolate and cake, I shall grow closer to the Lord. Or I shall deny myself certain luxuries so that I can have enough money to be able to afford to send my child to that private school that I would like them to go to. There are many that do that. There are times probably we even do it. But that isn't what it's about. Jesus said it is that denial of the self-life. It is, in other words, you're willing to surrender you, yourself, Romans 12, 1 and 2, on the cross. You are willing to give up yourself for the sake of the kingdom of God. It is a surrendering of that self-life, that independent self-life that otherwise, if is not surrendered, that self-life will always come first before God and seeking the kingdom. Because that is human nature. And you can call yourself what you like, a committed Christian, a committed Roman Catholic, a born-again Christian. You can call yourself all those labels, but unless you have settled to the fact that you have willingly surrendered that self-life up, the self-life will always want its own way. And the self-life will deceive you in letting you think that you have done this unto the Lord, or you are seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things being added. That is what it will do, because unless the self-life is surrendered and given up, you deceive yourself. Human nature is brilliant at doing it. It is what we call this kenosis experience. It is the emptying of the self-life. And the baptism of the Spirit is come to empty us of self. That is what the deeper life is all about. The baptism, the empowerment of the Spirit, is fundamentally, if you have taken that cross up, you've settled it, it has come to actually crucify the self-life so that you decrease, that Christ increases in your life, my life. That's what it's about. And that is what Jesus was saying here. How many do you find today preach and teach it like that? I looked up several commentaries. I thought as I was just preparing, I'll just have a look at it and just see what they said on it. It was all washed down. Compromise. Well, it's surrendering the things that you would like in this life. You know, those things that can get in the way and hinder our spiritual growth. And there are so many things. I mean, it's just partly true. But nobody can do that. You know, you read some of these commentaries and you think, you just close it up and say, well, it's impossible. Nobody can keep that. It's all you trying to do it. It's you trying to be good. It's you trying to please Jesus. It's you trying to take up your cross and follow him. Nobody gets into the kingdom of God trying. Unless I've got it wrong. They just don't see it. And the reason they don't see it, because they resist the baptism of the Spirit. Because in the baptism of the Spirit is the revelation of what discipleship is about. That is why the church, the early church, had to be empowered. She had to be baptized in order for that 120 to walk and live and act as disciples of Christ. It was impossible otherwise. And so in the time of restoration now, as God is restoring, bringing the body of Christ back as she's making herself ready, that is the bride of Christ, so again we are getting the revelation, the deeper understanding of what discipleship is and is all about. And Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It is the denial of the self-life that it enables us to be able to daily take up that cross and follow the Lord. Because if you try it in your own strength, you won't daily take it up. I can guarantee it. You'll have an off day. Oh, I shan't bother today. I'm not up to it. I had a rough night last night. Fell out with a wife yesterday, so... You know, I'm certainly not going to think about the cross. You know, we bring up all these excuses. But you know, when the cross is working daily in your life, which you desire to take up, when you wake up in the morning, you just say, I take up my cross this day and I follow you. You hear yourself saying it, because that is your confession of faith. In part of giving the day over to the Lord, thanking the Lord, I have the whole armour of God on. I take up my cross and I follow you. It's got nothing to do about feelings. I feel rough this morning, but that's what I do. That is faith confessing it, believing it. And guess what? The Lord will work it. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake we'll find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So he's speaking about now, you know, he's throwing out the question. And Jesus always does. Because it's free choice. It's you choosing. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Don't try that one in your own strength, because you'll never do it. You'll always keep your own life. When push comes to shove. It's human nature. So he's setting the scene. Jesus is setting the scene. The demands of discipleship, knowing full well man in his own flesh, in his own strength, could never keep the demands of that. But he knows the baptizer is to come when he's glorified and risen. And then it will all begin to make sense. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of the Father, his Father, with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Now, coupled with that, let's look at Mark's interpretation. And I just read that briefly in Mark 8 and verse 34. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 onwards. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. All of that agreeing heard very clearly what Jesus said. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels. So he gives just a little bit more in there toward the end with regard to the cross. And we will look at that, what he was describing there. And finally, we'll look at Luke's interpretation. Luke 9 and verse 23. All very, very similar. Speaking the same thing. Luke 29, verse 23-26. Then he said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, in his Father's and his holy angels. So all of this we see also is in the context of the coming of the Lord, the outpouring of the Spirit. It is in many ways referring to end time. It's end time revelation. One almost gets the indication of the way it's brought out that for centuries it will be lost. It will be little understood. But it will be understood in the last days. And so this part of Jesus' teaching, as I've been saying, is the least understood, I believe, in churches today. You see, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross if he didn't have its end result, and nor will we. You see, Jesus in his flesh, he would not have gone to the cross, he would not be willing to surrender and give up his life unless he was looking beyond the cross.
Yeah.
And that is the key to it. The cross that you daily take up, the cross that Jesus also took up, you look beyond. And faith will look beyond. And because Jesus was a man of prayer, much prayer, he was watchful, he was therefore able to look and see beyond the cross and what his Father's plan and will was. And the overcomers must, like Jesus, see by faith revelation beyond the cross. If you simply stop at the cross, which daily, yes, you are to take up, then it will become very inward looking and unachievable. But if we look further to the results of the cross, because the cross also speaks of resurrection. You have no resurrection without a cross. Resurrection can only come by death. And in our case, it is that death to the self-life or to the selfish life. In other words, it is the cross putting to death where we put first the kingdom and God's will in our lives. We will always otherwise compromise and be unbelief, and emotions will always take over. So, with that in mind, firstly, looking at these three interpretations, the first one, the cross puts an end to self lusting for the things of the world. So that is the first thing that the cross does. If we are taking it up daily, we are in faith, we have settled it, the cross is going to begin to work in putting to death that lusting for the things of the world. Now, you will know if the cross is working in your life, because as you look, and you look back, say, over the last 5 years, are you finding yourself lusting, wanting more and more? More what the world has to offer, what it gives? Or are you looking back and saying, no, I am finding I want less and less of the world and what it has to offer? It is such a lie. It is so deceptive. Are you finding yourself truly, as you examine yourself, are you able to confidently say, I can say, I There's less and less I want of this world. I find there's less and less of it appeals to me. And when I go out into it, I'm glad to get back and to be able to get into my home or in my place and be able to just rest and come into God's presence. Are you finding that happening? Because if it is, there are clear signs the cross is doing its work. That separation is taking place. Your eyes are being opened to the lies and the deceptions of this world and to the God of this world, the enemy himself. Yeah. Now only you can answer that. Only you know that in the light of the Spirit. I can't answer that one for you. I can simply present it. But I'm presenting to you the signs to look for. And we are to do that. So the cross, if we're taking it up, it will separate you. And in that separation, you find that you are losing that desire, that lust, that want, that craving for the things of the world. There is nothing like the cross to deal with lust that works. Habitual habits. The cross breaks it. There is nothing like it. I found that people can never get free from alcohol or from drugs or addictive habits unless they are daily taking up that cross, because that cross is eventually going to put it to death. It dies. The things of the world, the affections, the lusts of the world, dies. It was interesting. On my driveway, both front and back, it is a blessing, that driveway, but it's also a bit of a problem because I get weeds that just start growing. And no matter how much you try and pull them up, and it's quite a job, that is. You know, in the end, I had to put something down. And what I put down was a sort of, I'm not sure whether it's environmentally friendly. I'm not sure how much of these so-called weed killers, quote-unquote, are. But this is biodestructible. In other words, it works on the structure and the rootage of weeds. And so I went round and sprayed this stuff on. And after about 3-4 days, I thought, listen, there's nothing happening. You know, I've gone right down. It took me a couple of hours to go and deal with these weeds, and they look as healthy and as fresh as when I sprayed them. You know? And I thought, well, it says I've done, you know, it's what it says it will do and so forth. Well, today, as I got out and got the car out, I just had a look and a glance down, and I thought, hello, they're not looking so healthy. They're beginning to die. And I thought, yeah, it's just like this walk. It's like we take up the cross daily and we think, you know, is this really going to put this to death in my life? How long are these habits? How long is this going to carry on in my life? But it is, because the cross, as God showed me and he opened my eyes, the same as this weed killer goes to the roots. It's the only thing that will go to the roots, because roots go very deep. The cross is the only thing that will deal with roots. I thought, praise the Lord. But you see, to deal with roots takes time. And once the roots are dealt with, then the growth, what you see, eventually dies. But it doesn't die straight away. It can look quite healthy. It really can. And you think as though nothing's happening. And then suddenly you begin to see a change. And that is how the cross works. It will deal with the lusting of the self-life, the deception of our hearts. And we deceive ourselves so easy. But the cross will go right to the root. The same as it went right to the root when Jesus gave up his own life. What did it do with Jesus when Jesus gave up the ghost? It went right to the root of humanity. And what was that? Death. What could destroy that root of death? Only one thing. The cross. To release us all. That's why we boast in the cross of Christ. Because nothing else will deal with it. So there's the first area. Belief in the resurrection power of our cross. I haven't forgotten the title, because that's what we're talking about this morning. Secondly, the cross won't let you lose or sell your soul. As it says here, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, the Lord knows that man will sell his soul every time. Even Shakespeare saw that one in the story of Faust. A man will sell his soul for something that takes his delight. You know, you hear many, many people, and I've heard parents say, how could he be so foolish to do that? I mean, how many times have you heard parents say that? What's happened there? He sold his soul. What he saw, the glitter, the tinsel, his soul was moved by it. So God knows, unless the cross works in our lives, we will sell our souls to the devil. It's in man. And so praise God, the cross is there for you to make right choices and decisions. And as you acknowledge the Lord in all things, daily taking up your cross, you will make that right decision that glorifies God and will bring blessing. And you will have a testimony when you get up and say, the Lord did this. Why do we give these testimonies about what the Lord did and glorifying him? Because you couldn't do it otherwise. That's why. And when you hear these wonderful testimonies, God being glorified, I hear the cross in that. I see it. And what the cross has done. Enabling, helping us to make that right choice and decision. Otherwise, we'll sell our souls over to the devil. Because there'll always be something that'll take our eyes. Whether it's that new flash car or home or job or you name it. That's why we're hearing today. Everything's been unfolded. We're seeing skeletons coming out of the cupboard in business, now in the banking and everything. What are you seeing? Man in bankers sold their soul over to greed. I want. And so these obscene bonuses, a lifestyle that most people can just dream about. No problem, can buy all they want, the latest thing, latest gadgets, best cars and everything. What have they done? They've sold their soul to the devil. And trying to sell the bank's souls over as well. When you've got genuine people who work hard all their lives, saved, try to keep out of debt and borrowing and so on. They've taken no respect and regard for that. Because respect has gone. No respect. my stepbrother,
who left me an inheritance. He worked
hard, and I mean hard, all his life. He worked for over 40 years in the same job. I could count on one hand days that he lost. I saw him going to work, ill, with flu, but he'd make it and go in, because he was given a job of responsibility. He had hundreds of men in the end working under him. He was very instrumental in building the wings for Concorde and so on. And he knew his responsibility, but he was a man of example. He worked hard and he saved. And yes, he died fairly prematurely. And he left me an inheritance. And everything within me respected what he had left me. And everything within me, and God put that there, I thought, there's no way I can go out and just spend all of that on myself, which sadly most do. Little regard that that man had worked hard all his life to save, that we might have a comfortable life. And I chose to invest that, what it was, then in those days, in a property. Because I knew that that would increase. And that is what he would have wanted me to have done with that. As well as seeking God, because God says, I will bless you with houses, lands, brethren, persecutions and everything. I saw the promises of God. And God enabled me to be able to glorify him in that. Why did I do that? Because I respected him. I respected what he did. Now, some people may say, well, what a fool. You know, spending all his life and working 40-odd years for what? They wouldn't have thanked him. They were not. Well, they were, actually. Actually, the Lord works because they gave him an earlier retirement. He was actually supposed to retire. He was to go on another 3 years. But because he had saved British Aerospace millions, because there was problems that had arose. I can't quite remember how the story went, but I think there was problems with the men working. They had to get this job on the wings. It had to be out on a deadline. It was ultimately important because a lot of money was invested in everything. He worked his socks off helping to get that out and to do what it takes to work, to help the men, to persuade them, blah blah and everything. And he saved the company millions. I didn't know about that. He didn't come home and say, oh, I've saved the company millions, you know. We found out through somebody else. And because he did that, they remembered that. And they said, if you want to, you can go now. And we'll retire you off with your pension and everything. It's up to you. And he took it. That was his reward. You see, I respect that. And this is where it has gone in society. It has gone in parents, children towards parents, their parents to their parents. It's eroded. It's gone. Therefore, you can't, if you don't have these role models, then you don't see it in operation. But praise God, Jesus has come to restore all these things. He has come to show us what respect is. And this is why I've said that it is important that we respect one another in the body of Christ. That is vital. And all of this enables and helps one not to sell your soul to the body, to the devil. Lusting after things. Because this is what happens when society, everything begins to break down. There are no more role models anymore. This young generation that's coming on, I feel desperately sorry for them, because so many of them don't have any role models. They don't have anyone to look to. Young men who are on the streets causing problems, gang culture, drug, you name it, it's epidemic, particularly in London. They haven't fathers to look to. Most mothers have got three or four different partners. Or have had. I mean, the confusion in relationships is unbelievable. It is so complicated, you don't know where to start. That is becoming the norm. And the government just tries to throw money into it, failing to get to the roots of the problem. Those riots last year were as a result of no respect. No respect for property, burning down those shops and everything. It was appalling. No respect. People being mugged. You saw the pictures. You saw, I mean, literally, one was speechless. I felt totally ashamed to be in England when I saw that. But that is going on. I couldn't believe my eyes. And I thought, Lord, you have to be coming soon. You've got to be coming soon. This is why we as disciples have to be in faith, belief, for the resurrection power of our cross that we take up daily, because it's restoring to us. And the cross won't let you sell your soul. It will not let you sell your dignity. It will not let you be sold, degraded, brought down to the world's level and its ways. The cross humbles us in order that we may be raised up and exalted as a people that glorify God, a people of dignity, of honour, in that sense. That's what it does. Thirdly, we take up our cross for Jesus and the sake of the gospel. And we find that in Mark's interpretation. Mark chapter 8, and also it mentions in Luke as well. Mark 8, chapter 8. And verse 38, he says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels." So we've already just spoken about giving up your soul, selling it over to the devil. We also see now, thirdly, that we take up our cross for the sake of the gospel, and for the sake of Jesus, the word that gives us life. So he says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this sinful generation, he said, and of the Son of Man, also be ashamed when he comes in his glory. So what you sow is what you reap. So the cross, which is shameful, because that's how it was regarded, it was the worst of punishment, the worst of libertines went to such an execution. Yet we find that very thing that we too are to take up daily builds within us a confidence for the gospel, for the word, and for the name of Jesus. We won't do it otherwise. If the cross is not in your life and you're taking it up daily, you will find that the gospel, the word that you hold to, the name of Jesus, you will be ashamed of it sooner or later and you'll run away from it. That's really what the disciples did on the night of Jesus' betrayal. They ran away in fear, in shame. The whole thing looked ridiculous, a charade. They ran away. Why did they run away? Because the cross yet wasn't in their life. But it was going to be. When they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, then things completely changed. And that is what you do. If the cross is not there, you will run away from it because it's shameful. It looks ridiculous. People look at you and think, what a poor, deluded soul you are. That's what they think many times. What does Luke say? Luke chapter 8 and verse 35. Luke 8, verse 35. In Luke 9, sorry, chapter 9, verse 26, here he says, sorry, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory, and in his Father's, and of his only holy angels." So here we see then the cross is there so that as we daily take it up, we boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the word. We're not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to those that receive it. It is our life. It is our food. It is good message to us. We rejoice in the gospel, in the word of God. But what's put that affection there? The cross. Because self has got out of the way. Self isn't trying to water the word of God down or to excuse it or whatever. When the cross is there, you preach it as it is. And it is not watered down, deviated. Like so many modernists of the day are doing. When you hear a compromise in the gospel and it's watered down and deception there, what you are clearly seeing is no cross in that person's life. Because if it was there, they wouldn't do it. Because the resurrection of the death into life won't let you do that. What we receive through teaching, through ministers who labour in the word of God, what we receive from that is resurrection life. It's cost them death. They've had to be put to death. Death has had to work in order for us to glean the blessings of the deeper life. Doesn't come cheap. It doesn't. There's no shortcuts. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, fourthly, the cross causes us not to be ashamed of Jesus and his word. In verse 36. So back in Mark 8, I believe it's from that one. Mark 8, yeah, 38, sorry. "And for whatever is ashamed," in Mark 8, "for whatever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes." And so we see then that the cross causes us not to be ashamed of Jesus' words. Hallelujah. And that is why we receive his word. That is why we're Bereans of the word. We take in the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God.
I don't think you can hear the word of God unless the cross is daily being taken up. Unless the cross is there, that seed that is to produce faith, to go into our hearts, our flesh, cannot be achieved. You know, really, when you read the parable of the sower, you need to keep in mind the cross with that parable. Because the cross is delivering you from yourself. It is ourselves that stop us receiving the seed of the word. I am my biggest enemy to receiving the word of God. I am desperate for the cross to do its work in order for me to walk by faith, because faith comes by that word. This is why there's so much unbelief in the house of God, because there's not the cross. It's not there. And we're pressing in. We're pressing in to see the results of this word, that God will be glorified. We're believing for the gifts to be restored. But you can't even start on that unless you've got the cross first. You've got to go back to the basics. Take up your cross. And if the cross is doing its work in putting you daily to death, then you can start looking to signs following, gifts being restored, and so on. How many do you know in churches today want that? They've got it all round the wrong way. They want all the power and everything, but they don't want the consecration attached to it. And fifthly and finally, belief in the resurrection power of our cross that we take up. Fifthly, the cross will preserve a remnant. Overcomers, for Jesus is appearing. In Luke 9, 27. Let's turn to it. And verse 27. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now that's really in the context of what we've been talking about, where Jesus is, verse 23, where anyone just asks, let him deny himself, take up his cross. And notice it's all in the context. If you're ashamed of my words, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of you. He goes on, but I tell you, it's like, I've said all of this. You're to take up your cross, the denial of the self, come follow me. And he's given the conditions there. And he said, but I tell you something. Hang on, listen to this. Listen to the reward that you're going to get. I tell you truly, there are some standing here who are listening to this, who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now Jesus confidently spoke of that. He said, there'll be some who receive the revelation of this will not taste of death. Well, how much more we who are nearer after nearly 2,000 years? Hallelujah. So we need to be in faith for this cross in our lives, as much as getting healed, wanting that new job, that new house, salvation for loved ones, and so on. You can't separate it. The faith that you need for healing, salvation, blessing, is also the same faith needed daily to take up that cross and follow the Lord. Somehow we've forgotten that. That's not the abundant life. I would say the cross is fundamental in order for one to get your blessings. To be there. For making it into the kingdom of God. This is really what we're talking about. It's salvation at the end of the day. But you see, some don't have this faith for the cross. Because they don't see it or experience it. And if you're only ever talking about the cross and going through the actions and saying the right things,
Sooner or later, you're going to come unstuck. God, I believe, has put some for a season to one side who used to come to this body because he's trying to get them to settle the cross, which they haven't done up to now. They went through the motions. You go right back to the basics, the foundation. Goes right back to the cross. Yeah. I can only be committed to all of this ministry, what God's called me to, because the cross is central. I can't be committed otherwise. I am human, I'm fleshly, and I will fall to the lusts of the world otherwise. Period. I know what sustains me and keeps me. It's this cross that I daily choose to take up. Do I feel like it some days? No. Some days I feel like I'm sick of this cross. Give me a break, please. And then I say, no, I'm sorry. No, that's not what I want. Don't give up on me. And if you've not felt like that, you will. Hallelujah. Praise God. He knows how much we can take. He's faithful. But some just don't have faith for this cross. And so that's why they waver and things go wrong. And in the end, they go away angry. This walk doesn't work. This deeper life doesn't work and everything. They're just being dishonest because the cross really was not there. They hadn't settled it. Because if they had, we'd still be here. But God hasn't given up on some. We know that because we're praying. We're holding on. Yes, that right. Burden for souls won't lift. So I thank the Lord for that. I really do. Finally, to finish this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 6 to 8. Second Timothy, chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. You know this very well, but I think it is applicable. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these who also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all as theirs also was. How applicable that is. What is the diagnosis of that? Simple. There's no cross in those people's lives. They have this form of godliness, but they deny its power. Because there's only one thing that can give us the power to overcome, and it comes from the cross. Death, and from death, resurrection. And what is resurrection? Power, overcoming. Belief, making it through. And so because it's not there, they have simply this form of godliness. And not only that, but people queue up. They're queuing up to be deceived. Some of you tell me that you go onto this God channel thing. And you listen, and the audience and the auditorium is packed. People jeering, you know, exalting these so-called ministers, evangelists. I just call them entertainers. Corrupt entertainers. What are they doing? They're paying money to be deceived. And they boast in it. And they try and glorify God in it. in their absolute blindness and deception. I placed $1,000 and I'm going to get a gold gilt Bible with my own name inscribed on it. That's what they say, that's what goes on. Or you'll get a special prayer mat delivered first class mail. Be at your door tomorrow if you give me £1,000. And I will lay my hands on that prayer mat so that every time you kneel on that mat, the power of God will hit you. Zapped in the spirit you'll be. And people fall for it. That's what I've just read to you there. Just read it there. Why? Because there's no cross. The cross stopped at Jesus. But the cross never stopped at Jesus. That is the point. The deeper life has shown us it has to be finished with us, the bride. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. We need to hear it. We need to hear the cross, Lord. No matter how far we go, develop, how long we've been in the walk, Father, we need to be brought back. We need to be reminded, Lord. And I thank you in your mercy and grace you've done that this morning with us. Father, we are so grateful. Lord, we know there's no other way. There is only one way, and it's to daily follow you and take up our cross. And we needn't worry, Father, whether it'll work or not, because it will if we settle it. The Holy Spirit will work it. But Father, I thank you that you want us to have faith to believe in that which we take up. And I believe if we settle it, that faith will be there. We won't have to try or work at it. It will be happening. And we will begin to see the fruit in time that comes from it, because the cross always goes to the root, every time. Because the roots must be dealt with. The roots must be severed. Because if there are still roots found within us, we will not be ready to go up in the rapture. And so, Lord, my prayer is that all of us will be ready. All of us will allow the cross to deal with those deep roots. And sometimes they're very painful. But Lord, you will do it. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for our meeting together. I thank you for our fellowship, which I trust is sweet in your presence. And Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve, keep each one of us. Keep us walking with you. Keep us preserved from the evil one, from temptation. Help us daily to take up our cross as disciples and follow you, that the life of Christ may live in and through us. For the name of Jesus we do it. Amen. Amen, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God.